And joining the program now, who's just pulling up, Paul Feinbaum, the man of the hour. We saw that you are very in demand, popping around to different tables around here. But we appreciate your time, appreciate you for joining us. I want to start it off with your alma mater, actually, with Tennessee. Tennessee this past season, I feel like fans feel like they have exercised so many of their demons that they have been feeling over the last 20-plus years. Was last year with Josh Heupel and Hendon Hooker and Cedric Tillman and Jalin Hyatt, was that a one-off? Or is that just a peek of what's to come of Tennessee's potential excellence?
I think it was a preview. And, I mean, the team really wasn't that great. I mean, if you go down the personnel, I mean, they had a lot of holes they had to put together. And I thought Heupel was simply a maestro. And I may never get it out of my mind the way he just simply just disemboweled Nick Saban in the final minute of that game. This is one of the greatest defensive minds of all time, and he looked like a junior high coach, just trying to stop that. That's who Josh Heupel is. I think he is the best offensive play caller in the country.
Were you shocked to see the NCAA sanctions coming down on Tennessee? No postseason ban, slapped with an $8 million fine. Were you shocked to see that?
Not in the current world that we live in, because the NCAA is an irrelevant organization. And I think the university, starting with the chancellor, Donde Plowman, took a chance by being honest and firing a scoundrel in Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, let's throw a benefit for Jeremy Pruitt. He nearly wrecked the Tennessee program. And he doesn't deserve a coach anytime soon. I don't care how good of a coach he is. He's a really good defensive coordinator, but he's one of the dumbest head coaches I've ever been around. I mean, and I don't mean dumb from taking a test. Uh-huh. Dumb from not listening to people who try to help him. And I know a lot of people that went to him and said, listen, this is what you – he knew better than everyone else. And that's – what happened?
He could be dumb in terms of taking a test. I have no idea.
He probably is.
Maybe so. You say the NCAA is irrelevant. Is that a bad thing for college sports?
No, it doesn't matter anymore. They had a chance to do something about NIL for the last 10 years. I mean, this is not a new issue. Everybody's been complaining about it. And the reason why they didn't do anything, because they were afraid of going to court. Because they didn't have a leg to stand on. They were on a losing streak. I sat with the new president of the NCAA a couple weeks ago in Washington, and he got up in front of this organization I'd spoken right before him, and he said the NCAA blew it on NIL. I'm like, going, you're the head of the NCAA, but at the time he was the governor of Massachusetts. But they can't fix this. I won't go political here, but you're going to Congress. Congress doesn't care about this issue. That was a one day thing for them. Everybody got a selfie with Nick Saban, and they went home and they moved on to other things. This is not. And by the way, how are you going to go to Congress and say we're not going to allow young people who have an opportunity to make money? We're going to curtail that. I sat with Tommy Tuberville last year in his office in Washington. He said we got to put a cap on them. I go, you're going to put a cap on what somebody can make? I mean, that's absurd, and it will not work.
Now, Paul, let's transition over to Texas A&M. They've made the hire with Bobby Petrino. We know what Jimbo has been through. He hasn't had a 10-win season since he's been there. The team was bad last year. Some may think, he's on a hot seat. Was this sort of a desperation hire for Jimbo, hiring Petrino?
Yeah, it's like, a normal guy going out on a weekend and ending up in Vegas married to Britney Spears. Yeah, it's insane. But he didn't have any other moves. Instead of talking about what a lousy job he did last year, and he started the year by attacking Nick Saban about whatever he was talking about that in that epic 19-minute rant, that's all we're talking about. How's it going to go? Jimbo Fisher, I mean, these are professionals. They don't have to like each other. Bobby Petrino's I wouldn't want to sit next to the guy on a plane. Do I trust him to run an offense? Yeah. I mean, he did well with Lamar Jackson. he's had success at Arkansas. And we're not talking about, you know, whether, you know, he's a scoundrel or not, which he is. We're talking about whether, you know, he can coach offense, which he has done brilliantly over his career.
Now, is Alabama still the team to beat in the West, considering what LSU has been able to do? They beat, you know, Alabama last year with a two-point conversion. But is Alabama still the cream of the crop on that side?
I think they are, and they're not. They're not getting enough credit. I mean, Alabama is being disrespected.
Yummy rat poison.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little early just to stamp. I mean, I saw LSU lose to A&M last year. I saw them have some other really bad moments. I don't think they're quite there yet. I mean, yeah, Brian Kelly's been brilliant. Let's all say that and sing kumbaya. But I think they playing in Tuscaloosa, you know, somebody asked, well, who's the quarterback going to be? I have no idea. I think it's going to be Ty Simpson. You know, you guys know him in this area of the country in high school, and I think he got a chance to be fairly good. You don't have to be that great. I mean, they had the best quarterback in the world last year, and they still almost lost five games. But it's not about the quarterback. It's about, you know, can the offensive line block? Can they avoid 17 penalties like they did against Tennessee and Texas? And can the defense make a stop?
Paul Feinbaum was with us from the SEC Network. Paul, when you know this covering the league, when you win big, like George is winning now, everybody has got you under the microscope. They're going to try to find everything they can. Obviously, George has got some issues there. How do you think Kirby Smart is handling being under the microscope at that level?
I think he's handled it fairly well. He's taken an unconventional approach. He's just gone ahead and attacked the media in Atlanta, not you and I, but you know, they've attacked the coverage. They've asked for retractions from the reports about the police issues. I mean, yeah, it's a bad look, but if you opened up the police blotter, or maybe what should be on the police blotter in every college campus, you'd see similar things. I mean, Georgia is not isolated. Young athletes have always abused automobiles. Now they just have more money to buy bigger and faster automobiles. And instead of going 90, they can go 190, and it's dangerous, and it's a terrible tragedy. But yeah, he's managed to take the focus off of how great they are and how they have the best roster in college sports.
You've had these discussions over the years with us about Vanderbilt. I'm curious, with Clark Lee going this morning, you know, he's here in the same town. He's able to show people what they're doing. You know, the shovels in the ground, the cranes all over there, the new commitment. It's a slow approach, but it does look like he's making some progress. Give us your thoughts as you hear him talk about his vision.
When I first heard him talk, I thought he was clueless. I mean, I thought, you know, who is this guy they picked off from Central Casting? But I love the guy. Now, I saw him a little bit while ago. His father came up to me, and we were talking earlier. And, I mean, he is really the real thing. And I think he's shown tremendous progress. I mean, that 2-week stretch last year, 8 days when they beat Kentucky in Florida.
Yeah, Florida.
I mean the Florida people still can't get over it, but Florida better get over it, because right now I think Vanderbilt might be ahead of them in the pecking order.
That's pretty crazy. Paul, before we let you go, let's circle back to Tennessee. The question's been asked a lot this week. Would they have been better off just as a net result, just firing Jeremy Pruitt, dealing with the buyout, and not going through this whole process with the NCAA? Or do you think that was the right way to go?
I think it was the right way, because it wasn't going to if it paid them whatever, they were still going to have to deal with the NCAA. The NCAA didn't care whether he got the buyout or not. I mean, all of Jeremy Pruitt's threats amounted to nothing. And it wasn't perfect. It was ugly. I mean, I think the guy that really that we haven't talked about has been tarnished in all this is Phil Fulmer.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, his only defense is, I looked the other way, or I was a completely incompetent athletic director. His best approach is to say, I was incompetent. I was a terrible athletic director. I didn't know what was going on. Otherwise, he looks complicit.
Being a football coach, being an athletic director, two very different things. Paul Feinbaum, SEC Network, appreciate you for joining us. Have a great rest of the week.
So much fun. Thank you.
All right, yep. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you. We'll react to what Paul Feinbaum had to say coming up next. Our 102.5 and 106.3, the game SEC media coverage, is sponsored by Volunteer Hose and Gasket in Mercedes-Benz of Music City.